The first Thanksgiving that we always look at, I think it was 1621 up in Massachusetts. And it was facilitated by the fact that one of the Indians had been captured years before and made a slave in London. So he knew English. He escaped from his slavery, went back to his country, so that when the pilgrims arrived, there was somebody to explain things to them. And that first Thanksgiving, they had lobster, clams, and deer, all brought by the Indians. And the Indians and the pilgrims celebrated this Thanksgiving to God together. Wasn't the first Thanksgiving on this continent. For years, the Spanish explorers celebrated a Thanksgiving, and others in Virginia, by the way. So we're closer to the real one, I guess. Well, what happened? Here we are now, celebrating Thanksgiving. And I think for most of our population, the biggest things today are turkey and football. It's not really thanking God. Now, what happened? Well, starts back in the garden when Eve saw that the fruit, you see, was good to eat, delightful to the eyes, and enticing to make one wise. So it was the concupiscence of the flesh, concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. The mystery is why they wanted to be independent at all. Living in obedience to God and dependence on God, they had everything, including immortality. That is, of course, the mystery of sin. And it comes down to you will know good and evil. You will be like gods, knowing good and evil. What is that promise? To know good and evil in that context means to do what you want and you say whether it's good or evil. That is the heart of every temptation. You probably, if you read that text closely, the way Satan infiltrates, the way he finally convinces Eve, and she sees that independence. I will do what I want, and I will determine the consequences. Absolute, total illusion. But that's the heart of all sin. Now, from that moment on, whenever that was, and however it happened, there were maybe 1,000 years or more. And then one day, God chose Abraham. Now, whatever happened at that moment, we'll know when we ask him in heaven. Somebody knew there was one true God who was love and who deserved obedience and trust, which he gave him and trusted him. And we have all these stories about this great man, Abraham. Abraham, his name was, and God called him Abraham. Abraham would be an abbreviation of Aviram, my father is exalted. Abraham means the father of a Raham, of a great multitude. God changed his name. That revelation to that man is the foundation of everything that's happened since. We have no idea when he lived, we have a pretty good idea. It was in the 18th century BC because of the customs reflected in the stories that came down about him. For instance, you're going to have a child. By this time, Abraham is tired of believing. So he says, yes, of course, my foreman, Eliezer. God said, no, not that one. That was the law of the day and the newsy tablets that we have, that if a man died childless, his foreman took over his possessions. So Abraham is like trying to take it easy on God. I understand, God. You know, you promised, but it's all right. You know, it'll be according to our custom. It'll be Eliezer. And God said, not that one. Come with me. See those stars? Count them. That's how many your posterity is going to be. And Abraham believed him. And that was counted to him as the right way to relate to God. Was tzedakah, was righteousness. Probably in the 18th century BC, as we say, from these customs like the one I just mentioned, from that day until this, that faith is the one that has kept the world from falling into total disarray and disillusion. There have been many attempts to do without God. They all are modeled on the Tower of Babel, an organized attempt to do without God. World governments, Tower of Babel, it's the same. And it is there, you see. Some of its components are. It's called Babel in the Bible because it's alluding to Babylonia, which was a huge, one of the great empires. Those empires are built on military power ensuring economic control. That's how you get a Babel, you see. Let's build a tower that goes up to heaven, and then we'll be safe. Of course, the author tells us God had to come down and look at it. This is going up to heaven. They can't even get more than 100 feet off the ground. And then, symbolically, they couldn't understand one another. The reason they couldn't understand one another was because each one of them had his own agenda. And so at Pentecost, it was all brought back together. We can understand each other now. They can understand all these languages because the apostles began to preach them. That was the original gift of tongues. Where are we now in this 2010 as we gather here in this little chapel to thank God? That's why I thought we have choices of gospels today. I wanted that one for a couple of reasons. One, only one out of 10 was grateful for an incredible gift, healing of leprosy. And that was an outsider. Now here we are. What's the challenge today? You see, our dear friend Isaac Newton began to crystallize a drive that had been in European thought since about the 13th, 14th century. Because he said, I can't do it yet, but I know that I can explain all physical phenomena through mathematics, which is physics, right? And he's right. We still can't, but we're a lot closer. Control over this universe, see, is appealing to the flesh, to the eyes, but mostly to the spirit, enticing to make one wise. I will do what I want, and I will declare whether it's good or evil. I will make life in a test tube, and I will declare. I will murder children in the womb, and I will declare. The law will declare. See, if it's legal, it must be okay. Yeah? What about the law to kill all the Jews in Germany? Was that a good law? It was legal. You see how easily we are bewitched. You see? Oh, it's legal. So what? Is it real? That's our challenge, as we can see once again this, you will do what you want. And you will yourself declare whether it's right or wrong, whether it's good or evil. You will declare. You will know. You will be like gods. Irony of the thing is, of course, the word that first Satan was called Arum, crafty. And then you'll be like that. You'll be, what was their first discovery? Their vulnerability. They discovered that they were arumim, which is a play on words. One means wise, one means naked. Where we are right now on this Thanksgiving is in a world discovering that it's naked. It's helpless. It's not solving the questions. So what's the answer? Try harder, more control, bigger Tower of Babel. And we gather here to thank God with a huge responsibility. Certainly, everybody in the world knows we're heading for something, everybody, you know. What? Well, we're going to find out if we live long enough. From Abraham finally came Israel through Moses. Through Israel came Mary. Through Mary came God incarnate to set us free and to make us gods, sharing in the divine nature in love and obedience and trust. And so here we are now in a world that is drifting back. You will do what you want and you will say whether it's good or evil. Now, what is going to win over the world? Huh? Authenticity and love. We have to first know who we are and know what we think and why we think it. It's an obligation to take care of your mind. And then love. What won us over? Love. But real love. I don't have to be God because I have an infinite Father who loves me enough to take a part of himself, his Son, to die for me in my nature, in my kind of a body. I don't have to, you know, I can be better than God. I can be the child of God and know that my Father will take care of everything. I live in a world where things are tough. People die, there's murder, there's disease, there's... Right. But there's hope. And what this world lacks right now is hope. And so, we're going to build a big tower, and we are going to dictate to this world. We are going to make it. Now, the church, the body of Christ, the presence of Christ on earth today, huh, is still entrusted to turning that around. And we will, by the power and mercy of God, God knows, not our brains or holiness. So we're heading for some sort of showdown. What's it going to be like? I don't know. I'll tell you what I think. I think that the church is being invited to incredible holiness. And if we will answer, we can change this world, you see, through love, with an explanation. If we don't, it's going to be a mess, including persecution. And then when we're purified enough, we can do the job. It's like, you got your choice. You can listen to me now, or you can listen to me later. You are the ones entrusted with taking care of my world. And among the Christians, let's face it, there were an incredible mess. It's the Catholic Church. If we go under, Christianity wouldn't last another generation. That's just a fact. So here we are. We're part of the ones destined to save the world. You ready? What does that mean? It means answering God every day and being serious. Being serious. I don't mean glum. Serious. And being able to explain what and why we have hope. That's what the world doesn't have. We know that. Right? Hope is only born with the promise of success. And nobody has a promise of success. So the more extraordinary the promises made of success, the more ludicrous they become. So this is Thanksgiving 2011, right? 11, yeah. So this I think is what the Lord is saying. 1/10 of you in this human race, come back and thank me. Honor me. Trust me. And I can use you to change the world. It's that simple. Well, I'm not bright enough. Of course you're not bright enough. I'm not brave enough. Of course you're not. I don't want to go to jail and get beat up. Who does? Jesus didn't either. Look at where he was in the agony in the garden. Am I saying we're all going to get beat up? I don't know. Either we're going to get holy enough to win the world over without persecution, or we're going to get holy enough to win the world over with persecution. Now, I don't think the Lord is scaring us, saying if you shape up the, you know, I don't think he's not that way. But I do see, and I think we all do, the effervescence of holiness. Starting, you walk around with a collar, people get jump, you know, all over you to talk. All of a sudden, you know, there's something that the Lord is moving and pouring out, conversion. And if we'll take it, we can repeat Abraham's, or continue Abraham's gift. Now we know more. Not only is he God who can promise a covenant, he's God who can send his Isaac, who wasn't spared, so that we could be spared.